Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What's up, Packers fans? It's the APC podcast. APC, Acme Packing Company.com, part of SB Nation. Packers talk. All of the time. I'm your host, Zach Rapport, filling in as ably as I can for Alex Patakis. Ben Foldy as well, not with us. Still the summertime. They still got their summertime schedules, but we promised a weekly show for you guys. So here we are. It is Wednesday, August 8th. And before you jump ship, if this is Friday or Saturday and the preseason games already happened, I know that the preseason opener versus Tennessee is on Thursday. We're going to try to keep this episode more general. So if you do catch us on Friday, Saturday, or later, it'll still be fun and useful for you. But near the end of the show, we will talk a little bit of about what we want to see out of the preseason as well. But before that, ahead on the show, we'll go through some news and nuggets. We'll do a little listener mailbag session. And we have a big announcement as well on the other side of that. But of course, it wouldn't be a podcast just me by myself sitting in my apartment in Queens, although that could be a podcast. I don't know who would listen to it. I am joined mercifully by our corporate overlord, Evan Tex Western. Evan, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Zach. Can't wait for football about 24 hours from now. It's been a long summer, but it's nice that we finally got football to look forward to here.
Hell yeah, man. Thank goodness. I'm playing your walk-up music here in the background just to set the tone. So you really quickly, before we get into some news and notes, you just returned from an Alaskan vacation. Is that right?
Yeah, we spent about 10 days up in Alaska. Good friend of mine from college lives in Anchorage. So stayed with him, got a chance to go up to Denali for a couple days, did some whitewater rafting, did some camping. It was an awesome week. I can't recommend going up there enough, especially in the summertime. So if you are so inclined, definitely get out there. The camping is incredible. The photography up there is just unreal. So yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah, I was really intrigued when you first told me you were going on vacation there, because when I hear the word vacation, if we're playing word association, Alaska is not the first word that comes to mind, and vice versa.
It certainly wasn't a relaxing type of vacation, but then again, most of our vacations tend to be, you know, running around, seeing a whole bunch of stuff. We don't usually like to just kind of sit on a beach for a week and relax. We usually come back more tired than we were when we left.
So you might as well call a spade and just get the hiking boots on.
Yep, pretty much.
That's awesome. Well, I thought that was funny, and I thought before we got into the news, we would just, you know, hit our listeners with a few Alaska facts for you guys. Three Alaska facts before we get into the news. Number one, the United States purchased Alaska from Russia in 1867 for about 2 cents an acre. Alaska fact number two, the state flag of Alaska, which features the Big Dipper and the North Star, was designed by a 12-year-old boy. True story. Third and final Alaska fact, in Alaska, it is illegal to give beer to a moose. Those are Alaska facts brought to you by, I don't know, Northern Exposure or some shit.
I'll throw in a fourth. The state bird of Alaska is the willow ptarmigan, and that's ptarmigan spelled with a P.
Ooh, ptarmigan? Hey, little bird humor there. So why don't we get into the news of the week here? And I wanted to start off with Jake Ryan, since we last recorded. Confirmed that linebacker Jake Ryan was indeed lost for the season. Now, the Packers just today, it's sort of breaking news, signed undrafted rookie linebacker James Crawford of Illinois. Texas, what do you think? Is that just a camp body? Is he a contender? What do we know about this guy?
Yeah, Crawford strikes me as being more of a camp body. Certainly they need another player in there to pick up some snaps on the inside, but he wasn't a standout player necessarily by any means in college. He only really played linebacker for 1 year at the University of Illinois, and that was his junior year. He played more of a defensive end pass rushing role last year. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. Just I think he profiles similarly to Nashawn Hughes in that both of them came into college as safety recruits. Both of them ended up playing kind of both off ball and edge rushing linebacker roles in their times in college. And it looks like both of them will probably end up moving inside in Green Bay here in camp. But this isn't a signing that should move the needle a whole heck of a lot, I don't think. I think it was a case of the team had two roster spots, wanted to get a young guy in to maybe get some snaps and maybe see if he's worth a practice squad spot. But nothing more serious than that from what I can tell.
Do you expect Gutekunst to also add in a more veteran guy there? You know, I think of guys like Navarro Bowman, Gerald Hodges, and even like Brian Cushing are still out there, right?
Yeah, those guys are all there. And honestly, Bowman is the one that would intrigue me the most just because he's been the best of those players. And he certainly is a guy who at this stage of his career is chasing a ring. And I think you can make the case that, you know, as a veteran guy, he probably doesn't want to go through a full training camp and he could probably pick up a new defensive scheme relatively quickly. So I think if the Packers make a move on Bowman, they'll probably be content to wait a couple of weeks, maybe, yeah. You know, look at him again 2 weeks from now before the third preseason game if they do feel like they need something there. And let's face it, I mean, they haven't played a snap in the preseason yet, so we don't really know what we're going to get out of guys like Oren Burks and Ahmad Thomas and these guys yet. So, you know, for all we know, that one of them might come in here and light everything on fire and you know, play really well these first couple of games and give you a little bit of comfort level there with the young players. So I think they're just kind of biding their time on that.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to give a quick shout out to a listener on Twitter, Ryan, who's at Amish Goat Farm, which is an awesome, awesome handle. But we're doing a listener mailbag session up next. He had a question about James Crawford. We're covering it now. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. He had asked if we should be worried about the inside linebacker position. And I think you put it best. We don't really know what we've got yet until we see these preseason games. And I would also add, and you could feel free to agree or disagree with this, but I guess we don't know what, you know, Gutekunst and Patton think, but certainly Ted Thompson, Dom Capers, over the years, the inside linebacker position has not been highly valued.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I mean, Burks is your highest drafted off-ball linebacker by the Packers since A.J. Hawk in 2006. So that tells you the kind of value positionally that the team has historically put on this position. You know, again, we'll see what Gutekunst thinks about this. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't expect, even if they do go out and get a veteran, that they would invest a whole lot of guaranteed money in that contract.
Yeah. Well, moving on, speaking of injuries, lineman David Bakhtiari had fans holding his breath at family night when he went down with what looked like a rolled ankle. And thankfully, all indications are that he avoided a serious injury and he should be good to go for the regular season. Tex, how's your blood pressure here with this offensive line?
Well, honestly, if Brian Bulaga hadn't come back to practice on Friday off the PUP list the day before Bakhtiari messed up his ankle, my blood pressure would have been a heck of a lot higher because you've got those probably two of the best pair, you know, the best pair of bookend tackles in the league. And certainly losing one of them for any length of time would hurt. But if you're going to be without both of them, you know, we saw what happened early on last season when the Packers had to put Lane Taylor and company out there at the end of the offensive line.
Ouch.
So, yeah. And ultimately, Bakhtiari is not a guy who needs a whole lot of snaps in the preseason. He's been around long enough. He's a two-time All-Pro. He's going to come in, get his job done when he's called upon, when week one comes around. And ultimately, you know, once it was confirmed to just be a sprained ankle, you know, if he doesn't see the field at all in the preseason, I'm totally fine with that.
But it will be interesting as we head into these four preseason games, watching the offensive line play. I think, From my experience watching preseason football, advantage is always on the defensive line. The backup offensive linemen don't usually fare too well, so it might be hard to sort of suss out what we've got to work with, but that might be something interesting to keep an eye on.
Definitely, and last year especially, we saw that with Jason Spriggs really struggling on the left side. It sounds like right now that Kyle Murphy's getting more of the action on the left side with Spriggs on the right, so it'll definitely be interesting to see if they keep those guys on their sides in these first couple games, or if they do kind of alternate them back and forth a little bit.
Yeah. Next up in the news, Aaron Rodgers made waves the other day when during a post-practice locker room interview, he openly chastised young receivers, calling their effort on the scout team, quote, piss poor. unquote, which I don't know about you, Tex, but I loved this. I thought it, you know, I don't know. I like this kind of stuff. What did you make of this?
Yeah. Rodgers knows that he's the old man in the room. And if he's earned enough clout that if he sees something he doesn't like, he's, you know, he's earned the right to make that clear to his teammates, especially these young guys. I think it's a case of, you know, Rodgers tries to lead by example most of the time, be a quiet leader and, you know, go about his job and show the guys the right way to do things. But I read this as being an example of a time when he recognized that something a little more forceful needed to be said to these guys. You know, certainly it sounds like a couple of the second year players, I think he said Yancey and Jay Kumerow, you know, that they were doing good jobs, but it's really the rookies that he was kind of harping on. So maybe it's kind of a wake up, welcome to the NFL moment for these guys. I think maybe that's kind of what he's trying to instill and say, look, you guys need to be pros. This is different than it was in college. And it's time to, you know, it's time to really buckle down and get to work.
Yeah, I agree. You know, one thing we know about Aaron Rodgers is that he does not say anything at all on the record in front of a microphone without an express purpose behind it. And so to call out these guys, to me, that says that he thinks that they're capable of doing better. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. He's not just doing it to be a dick.
Agreed.
Before I move on, I wanted to shout out really quickly because Aaron Rodgers has been in the news a lot, giving interviews and the like. And Tex, you had a really, really nice write-up that I wanted to shout out and encourage our listeners to head over to acmepackingcompany.com to check out about Aaron Rodgers' comments on a number of things, including the anthem protest, new rules and regulations, and stuff like that. Would you mind giving the listeners a quick primer on that?
Yeah, Rodgers was interviewed by a couple different media sources this week, Michael Silver with NFL.com, as well as Kevin Clark of The Ringer. And they really kind of got his opinion on a whole bunch of different things, but he took on a little bit of questions about the CBA, kind of what he would do if he were commissioner of the NFL. And you really see a lot of his understanding of the NBA now that he's part of the ownership group of the Bucks kind of coming through on that. And he also gave some of his viewpoints on, like you said, the anthem protests, really kind of pointing out some of the double standards that it seems are being set by the owners with some of the policies that they've put forth. So really good interviews. Please check them out at Acme Packing Company, and then, you know, make sure to check out the full interviews, both of those sources as well.
Yeah, for sure. And Tex, that was a good job by you. Moving on, John Gruden's weird NFL Back to the Future fever dream continues as Khalil Mack, the tremendous defensive end for the Raiders, is, according to some sources, on the trading block. I have two questions for you, Tex. What the hell is going on in Oakland, firstly? And secondly, what would you give up to acquire Mack in a hypothetical trade?
On the first question, I have absolutely no idea. I don't know why John Gruden was hired in the first place. So I think everything boils down to that to start with. You know, he's even said at the combine things like he wants to take football back to 1998.
I think he's screwing with us.
I hope he is. I really do. It'd be fascinating if he comes out and he runs, you know, a Rams or Eagles like offense and just completely fools everybody that's expecting him to just run, you know, a ground and pound mid-90s offense instead.
That would be such a hilarious hoodwinking.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm here
for it. But it seems like Gruden's really got an affinity for veteran players. Like, I mean, the Raiders acquired Jordy Nelson this offseason. There's a couple other players in there that they added. And I don't know why you would get rid of a defensive MVP candidate, you know, which Mack certainly is. But if I were the Packers, yeah, you've got to start having conversations about this if you know he's available at the right price. Now, right now, that price is probably two first round picks, and that's just going to keep coming down as the couple weeks tick down towards the start of the season. And we all know that the Packers have two first rounders with that trade with New Orleans for next year, but certainly I'm not keen on giving up both of those picks at this stage in the game. So, you know, for me right now, what I'd be comfortable with, you know, one of those first rounders, you could even throw in maybe a third round pick next year. That still leaves you with with one of your firsts, a second round pick, probably some ammo in the third day of the draft to move up back into round three, kind of the way they did this year. So, you know, first and third seems reasonable to me. And then, I mean, you still got to figure out a contract situation with Mack and find a way to work him under the cap anyway. You know, I hate to say it, but if they're real serious about this, maybe they could find a way to convince the Raiders to take 1 year Clay Matthews off our hands and make a big swap in terms of salary and cap space that way too.
Do it. Do it.
I mean, yeah, if you're talking replacing Clay Matthews with Khalil Mack right now, Mack's 27. Again, he's coming off a tremendous couple of seasons. That ought to be a no-brainer for Packers fans, regardless of how much we love Clay's hair.
Yeah. Ooh, I got to calm down. It's all hypothetical. It's probably not going to happen, but it's the Goody era. So, hey, you know, we don't know.
And he didn't rule it out in his press conference. Keep that in mind. So he did say that the team was going to have some conversations. So it's more than we would have ever heard from Ted Thompson. Granted, we actually got Gutekunst at the podium, which in and of itself is probably more than we would have ever gotten out of Ted anyway. But I don't know. I think it's a fun thing to have a little pipe dream about these next couple of weeks and just kind of keep an eye on.
Agreed. All right. And that's the news.
You've got mail.
All right, guys, it's mail call time. We put out the APB on Twitter at the APC pod on Twitter is where you can find us for all kinds of silliness there. And for long form stuff, the APC podcast at gmail.com. We put out the APB earlier today, yesterday, actually, I believe. Got some really good questions here. Tex Western, we're holding you captive. They've got questions. You've got answers. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. We heard from Joe at work on Twitter. What are your thoughts on players playing multiple/new positions? Packers moved Randall to cornerback, Montgomery to running back. Rollins has taken snaps at inside linebacker. Josh Jones has played some ILB. Some have suggested Josh Jackson should play safety. Is this a good thing, a bad thing, or just a thing?
I think it's just a thing, right? No, I don't read anything negative into this, at least not in terms of the fact that the Packers are willing to try some of these guys out at different spots. As far, you know, I'll step through these guys individually here. You know, Randall was looked at, he was a safety coming out of college, but, you know, he had a kind of a cornerback type of skill set, and he played a little bit more of like a slot corner overhang defender type of role in college. So it kind of made sense. And then you get the fact that the Packers desperately needed help at cornerback.
Yeah.
Montgomery to running back, there were people the year that Montgomery came out of the draft saying that his skill set was better suited to running back than wide receiver in the first place. So, you know, that one I think is natural. And again, you know, that one was also sort of a result of team need and you know, massive injuries at that running back position 2 years ago. As far as Quentin Rollins at inside linebacker, Rollins in general has, you know, we'll get into him probably a little bit more later, but
they're trying to find something for him.
Exactly. They've invested a second round pick in this guy. It's his fourth year in the league, and they're trying to find a way for him to show that he deserves a spot on the team.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't know that that's going to happen, but yeah, he's a man without a position. They've made it clear that they don't think he's an outside cornerback. They played him at safety. They played him at nickel. They played him at dime. They played him at linebacker. And really he hasn't seemed to impress at any of those spots yet. So for him, I think it's a factor of you're just trying to get him in situations to give him opportunities to show that he deserves to stick around. So ultimately, I think you have to look at each of these situations individually. I don't think you can look at it as a massive trend aside from, you know, the obvious of college defensive ends moving to 3-4 outside linebacker. I mean, that's a league wide thing. So as far as these particular examples, I think each one of these is a distinct different situation, and there's not really any reason to read too much into it as an overall trend.
Yeah, I agree with that. Joe, I hope you're satisfied with that answer. Moving on, Glenn Hintz on Twitter asks, who is worthier of replacing Janice as the Great White Hope, Jake Kumerow or J.K. Scott?
So it's funny that this question came up today, because in today's walkthroughs on Acme Packing Company, we talked about which players we're most excited to see in the preseason opener. And our good friend and colleague Paul Noonan coined the nickname for Jake Kumerow, the Great Whitewater Hope. So I thought that was priceless. But
wonderful.
In terms of who's, I think Scott's got the better chance to make the roster, right? He's basically already locked up the punting job. Kumerow is still in a real tough fight for a roster spot with all the various talented receivers that the Packers have. So, I mean, Scott's the guy who's going to be around for a while. So I guess that's my answer.
I'm going to go opposite you and go Kumerow only because Janis was always a bubble player. Valuable on special teams. That's how he stuck around on the roster. So I feel like to get that folk hero name, you can't have 100% of the roster spot guaranteed. We know Scott's on the roster. He's not going anywhere. So I'm going to go Kumerow. Not that it matters all right. at all. But one last point. Someone in our APC Slack chat today pulled up an article and pointed out that Kumerow, who first of all is his cousin is Joey Bosa, which I thought was an interesting fact, is also related to like his grandfather or great grandfather. Somebody is like a famous like crime boss whose nickname is Big Tuna. Is that accurate?
That's what we determined, I guess. I think we can thank Matub for the find on that one. Something about his great grandfather, I think, was a mob boss in the mid 90s and the mid 1900s, 40s and 50s or something like that.
Moving on, we have actually two questions from at Whiskey Shisky, and we'll start with the first one, which is also Kumerow related. Is Kumerow better than the rookie wide receivers? Will he make the 53 man roster? So get on a hill, make a stand here, Tex. What do you think?
Yeah, in terms of sheer talent, no. I mean, fundamentally, St. Brown, Jamon Moore, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, they're faster, they're a little bit bigger, they're better athletes than Kumerow is. But it's clear so far, at least in camp, that he's the better football player. At this point, he's running routes properly. He's got a better hold of the playbook. And some of that probably comes from the fact that he spent the entire offseason with the team after being signed the last week of the 2017 season. If you're asking me if he makes it onto the 53-man roster, at this point, I still say no. We need to see him do this in a game. We need to see him do it consistently. We all know that Rodgers likes, you know, guys who play well in practice and who can be trusted. But when you're also putting together the roster, you need to look at different types of things. You're looking at return on investment. You're looking at longevity. You're looking at growth and development potential as well. And so, you know, if you're telling me to make a stand right now, I say no, he probably doesn't make the roster just based on, you know, everything that's invested in some of those other players.
Although he does have still somehow after bouncing around some practice squad eligibility. So maybe they'd be able to eke him out on the practice squad. Not sure about that. The follow-up question from at Whiskey Shisky was, can the Packers afford to keep three QBs this year? So switching gears a little bit.
Yeah, I've been playing around with my roster prediction spreadsheet, trying to come up with some different scenarios.
Are you on the Boyle train? Get on the Boyle train.
No, I think Tim Boyle will be a great practice squad quarterback this year. We'll see. Hopefully he passes through waivers unlike Taysom Hill did last year. But I think there's scenarios.
I know.
The missed opportunities there with a 28-year-old rookie. But no, I mean, there's scenarios that I've run that you could have three quarterbacks on the roster and not feel like you're really missing out too much at other positions. If they keep five defensive linemen and three running backs, so Jamal Williams, Ty Montgomery, and the fullback, probably Rutkowski, you can make room. Certainly you think this team's going to have six receivers, probably nine offensive linemen with the injuries they've had there. So there's ways to do it. My position has always been, if you've got a third guy that you really like on the practice squad, what's the point of having that third quarterback on the 53-man roster? It's a guy who, unless you have back-to-back serious injuries in the same game, he's never going to see the field. Whereas, like last year, if you've got an injury to your starter, then you just elevate your practice squad guy to the active roster and move on from there. So if you're asking me my preference, no, keep two guys on the roster, throw a Boyle on the practice squad, and you probably end up with Kaiser being the guy in that situation because he's got guaranteed money and you've got the trade investment put into him instead of Hundley. But you know, if I had my preference, it would be, you know, just keep the two quarterbacks and give yourself more flexibility.
Yeah. Max on Twitter writes in asking, will Trevor Davis make the team?
So that's why I don't have Kumerow on my roster right now. As much as it as difficult as that cut was, we don't really know that Kumerow can do anything as a returner. He hasn't been put back there at all, I think, in camp yet. But so I doubt we'll see him there. And the Packers certainly seem dedicated to giving Davis a shot to prove that he still belongs, just at least based on his returning ability. So right now I've actually got him on. We'll see obviously in the next couple of weeks what happens, but that's where I stand at this point. Those special teams contributions might get him a spot.
Yeah. I've been wavering on this, but I'm switching sides, I think, and leaning more towards he is going to make the team. But again, you know, That's what the preseason is for. I know it's cliche, but I think we'll learn a lot about those bubble players over the next few weeks.
Yep.
Matt Doherty on Twitter asks, hey guys, love the pod. Hey, thanks, buddy. I'd like to hear your thoughts on safety depth. I think the Pack should sign Eric Reed. I'll give you a hot take sounder for that. What do you think?
My short thought on safety depth is it's not great. I'm not confident in the depth behind Clinton Dix. I'm still not sure that I'm confident in knowing who's going to start at the other safety spot between Kendrell Bryce and Josh Jones.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm still more of the opinion that Jones needs to be more of an in-the-box player, a slot, kind of a hybrid inside linebacker guy. That's where he had his best games last year. He was really good for most of that game against Cincinnati from the weak side linebacker spot. So I think that's where he fits in best. You know, put Bryce out there, I guess, but then, you know, who do you have behind them? I'm not sold on Jermaine Whitehead being anything more than maybe a dime back. I do like Raven Green, the undrafted rookie. I think I'm looking forward to seeing him in the preseason, see if he can do something in the second half and flash a little bit. But no, I would be all for Eric Reed coming aboard. You know, I actually made that point about a week ago, I think, when the Jake Ryan injury hit, that Reed is also got a guy kind of like Josh Jones in that you can plug him in a linebacker spot as well. So that helps your depth with, you know, both at the safety position as well as at the inside linebacker spot, you know, with Jake Ryan out. So that's the guy that I would be calling right now, honestly. Probably ahead of a guy like Navarro Bowman or someone like that is Reed, just because of the versatility that he gives you. And Mike Pettine loves those types of players. You know, he's going to find some interesting ways to use Josh Jones. But I think if you give both Jones and Reed, that's going to be some real exciting toys that he'd be able to play with and come up with some real interesting packages with.
Yeah. Are you interested at all in any free agents to bolster the safety position? There's not a lot out there besides Eric Reed, huh?
Yeah, the only other name I think that's still out there is Trey Boston. He's more of a conventional deep free safety, though, and I don't think that really fits with what Pettine likes to do.
I think he signed with the Cardinals, actually.
Did he? Yeah. Oh, shoot. I must have missed that then. Yeah, then if he's gone, then, you know, Kenny Vaccaro.
Tyvon Branch, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Clinton, Kenny Vaccaro just Demps. Signed with. Yeah, Vaccaro's in Tennessee now, so we'll see him tomorrow. But yeah, now that we're getting down there, it's basically Reed or nobody, because finally some of these safeties are taking these real cheap contracts that they're at least going to have a job for this season. But this was a really weird market for safeties this year.
Yeah,
I didn't
was.
Understand what was going on, and I still don't. So it's nice to see these guys finally finding some landing spots, but. You know, I'm still on board with bringing Reed to Green Bay. I'd love to see it. I think he'd be a good fit.
I agree. I also think that we're going to see that contract trend reverse a little bit, because I think the position is actually on its way up in terms of importance. One last question, actually two questions from the listener mailbag. Gage Bridgeford writes in on Twitter. Firstly, he asks, is Rollins out barring injuries? We talked a little bit about Rollins, but what do you think, in or out?
No, I think he's out. Again, I don't think you have a good spot where you feel comfortable for with him playing with any consistent solid level of play. You know, he hasn't looked really good as a safety. He certainly can't do it at cornerback at this point. So unless he shows something that he hasn't showed in the last 2 years or so, in the next 3 weeks, I don't see him making the team.
Yeah, I agree. His second question, switching sides, do they keep Carriage or Ripkowski? I personally think Ripkowski. I think everyone is reporting that he has the edge. Not sure if you feel strongly.
Yeah, I don't think there's a huge role for the fullback still in this offense. There's certainly more than there is in other offenses, since Mark McCarthy hasn't quite given up the ghost on that position yet. But I'm confident that Ripkowski will be the guy if it's one or the other. Now, I wouldn't necessarily rule out them keeping both of them. They have. And Carriage is certainly a guy who's been a core member of that special teams unit in the past. Yeah. So maybe if they, you know, only keep three inside linebackers, let's say, that might be an opportunity for Carriage to make it as a special teamer. But, you know, if they keep maybe a foursome of linebackers, let's say they keep Martinez, Burks are certainly locks. And then if they land, let's say, Ahmad Thomas and Greer Martini as reserves and special teams players, I think that shuts the door pretty much on Joe Carriage.
Yeah. And I just want to say bless you, Gage, on Twitter. Bless you, Packers fans. It is August 8th, 2018, and Packers Nation wants to know which fullback are they keeping on the roster. I love this stuff.
Doesn't get any better than that, right?
Hell yeah. All right, that was the listener mailbag. So thanks everybody for submitting your questions at the APC pod on Twitter. theapcpodcast@gmail.com is where you find us for long form complaints, hate mail, novellas, whatever you got. They could also get you, Tex. You are at Tex Western. Is that right?
That's correct.
I should have pumped that earlier. I was bad intro on my part. At Tex Western on Twitter. I'm at Zach Rapport, and the usual degenerates who are not here, at Alex Patakis, at Ben Foldy. But we teased it at the top of the show, but we have a big announcement. So let's get underway. That's right, folks. The APC Podcast Listener Pick'em League is back. Is that name way too long? Definitely. Did we have all summer to think of a better one? You bet we did. Did we do that? Of course not. Every week in this confidence pool style game, you will predict the winners of each game and collect points for correct guesses. At the end of the regular season, the listener with the top score will receive one prize to be named later. It's free to sign up. Free to play, but how do I sign up, you ask? Follow us on Twitter at @theapcpod and tweet at us that you want in, and we'll get you set up. The APC Podcast Listener Pick'em League. Marginally fun, totally free. Are you in this year, Tex?
I'm in. I am in 100%. So test your luck at the Pick'em against myself, certainly all the podcast guys. I think Paul Noonan's doing it again. We've got a bunch of the writers on board as well.
Yeah, you can test your skills and show how much more you know about football than we do. I think I fared pretty well. Who was the top placing APC, or was that you or somebody else?
I think Mike Veith got me.
You're right,
by a little bit, and then I edged out Paul for second place.
But the real winner was Mateus, if I'm correct, listener Mateus from Brazil, and his brother actually came in second place, which I thought was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So yeah, the listener pick'em is back, and just get at us on Twitter and we'll get you signed up. It's through the CBS Sports app. It's really simple. It's free. And it is, as I just stated, a marginal amount of fun. So before we head out here, I wanted to get your opinion as the Packers head into their first preseason game against the Tennessee Titans here. Just give me like one thing that you'll be paying attention to during this first game.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me is going to be, how does this front seven look with Pettine now as the defensive coordinator? With the reports out of Family Night, or that the defensive line and the front seven really dominated, you've got Montrevious Adams playing well. You've got Kenny Clark beasting and throwing guys all around the field. So I'm really excited to see this front, see what little wrinkles Pettine is going to show us about his scheme. Certainly he's not going to throw the whole playbook out there the first game of the preseason, but I think we'll see enough to see a visible difference from the Dom Capers defenses that we're used to. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like and hopefully getting fired up for week one.
Yeah. Similarly on that note, and something we touched on earlier, you know, I'm interested in seeing what Pettine's defense looks like, but also how he uses the safeties. because we touched on it as a position of worry. And he uses the safeties in interesting ways. So I'll be keeping my eye on that. And then on the other side of the ball, I know it'll be hard to look at, but I will be keeping my eyes on the offensive line as well to see what we got there. All right. And with that, I think that's an ender. We'll play the polka and get out of your hair here. Thank you so much to Tex Western at Tex Western on Twitter.
That's me.
That's you. I am Zach Rapport at Zach Rapport on Twitter. Follow the show at the APC Pod. Alex Patakis, Ben Foldy, the whole gang. Follow us for, you know, fun, irreverent, sometimes not fun and sad chatter. But it's all there. We're there all the time to hang out with you guys. So good luck to the Packers here hosting the Tennessee Titans. Hopefully we'll see
Football.
Some interesting things. Hopefully no one will get injured.
Football tomorrow.
Yes. Yes. And then football forever. Four more weeks of preseason, and then meaningful football is here. Thank the lucky stars, because I don't know about you, Tex, but I need a distraction right about now.
Got that right.
All right. For
three words for you, Zach. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. For everyone at APC, thanks a lot for listening. Thanks for downloading, and we'll see you next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.